Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the Ten Commandments. Now, the arithmetic doesn't quite add up. You'll see we're at Commandment 4, but this is the third week. That's because I did the first two in the first week. You can go on the web and find that out. I might have to get Kathy to do a rerun so I can get a recording on the web. I haven't talked about that yet, but anyway, as we said, we're exploring the Ten Commandments, and these commandments can be described as God's standard for living. The first four deal with our relationship with God, while the remaining six have to do with our relationships with others. However, we have seen our relationship with God as actively worked out in our relationship with each other. These first four commands could be summarized as speaking to our lives, no other gods before me, our hearts, no graven images, our lips, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and our time, remember the Sabbath. And we're going to look at this last one, which we heard in our reading just before. Now, there are two things being said in this commandment. Firstly, we're commanded to work. This is often overlooked. Work is God-given, and Jesus affirmed this when he said, "My Father never stops working, and so I keep working too." However, we must be careful to draw a distinction between paid employment and work, a distinction that I think is underrated. Whilst this commandment implies that work done adds to the economic life of the home, it does not mean that we will all be in paid employment. The parent that remains at home to look after the family is actively employed, at least as far as I can see that is the case. In fact, sometimes I suspect they might even work a bit harder. As anyone that receives a pay packet, an unpaid person who is active in the community service is fully engaged in work. Way back in another life, I wrote a thesis of some 60,000 words on the development of the work ethic, which was a fascinating exercise. I started in Genesis chapter 1 and I finished in 1984, which was the year I wrote it. Nothing to do with George Orwell or Will either. But it was a really, really fascinating thing. Unemployment is not a word you'll find anywhere in Scripture. There's a lot of comments about people who won't work, which probably we ought to note, but I find it and have found it a really fascinating thing. And in our modern driven society, there is a mix about understanding between work and paid employment, and I think we need to recover. And of course, those who are being on some sort of pension, you're being paid in one form or another. But as a person I was tramping with in January said, "Thank you, Mr. Key, for me being able to sit back and enjoy this wonderful world." And of course, there is a rightness to that too. And believe me, he worked hard those 5 days as well. So this command is not only about work, but it's also we're commanded to rest. And this is just as important. It is clear that God intended that we set aside time when we are not working and spend it resting and worshipping God. Now, this commandment has been distorted. By Jesus' day, the Jews had taken this healthy instruction to the extreme. They listed 39 tasks that were forbidden on the Sabbath. For example, separating two threads, untying certain knots, or tying certain knots, writing two or more letters of the alphabet. I can't write letters. As a precaution, a tailor was not allowed to take his needles home on a Friday, and a scribe his pen. Sadly, legalism made a beautiful event into a harsh ritual. In response to this, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath day was made to help people, and were not made to be ruled by the Sabbath." Now, there are four reasons that this command was given. The first was to recall their deliverance. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there by his great power and strength. So the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. That's Deuteronomy 5. Secondly, to recall their creation. The reason is that in 6 days the Lord made everything, the sky, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. On the seventh day he rested, so the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus 20. Thirdly, there's a special sign to Israel. The Israelites must remember the Sabbath day as an agreement between them and me that will continue from now on. The Sabbath day will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. Because in 6 days I, the Lord, made the sky and the earth, and on the seventh day I did not work, I rested. Exodus 31. And fourthly, a day of rest. But the seventh day is the day of rest to honour the Lord your God. On that day, no one may do any work, not you, your son or daughter, or male or female slaves. I'm not sure what happens to wives there. Your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, or the foreigners living in your cities. That way your servants may rest as you do. Deuteronomy 5. So what does this commandment mean for us today? Well, firstly, avoid becoming legalistic about it. It's interesting that all the Ten Commandments except for this one are repeated in the New Testament. Why is this? To begin with, we are no longer under law but under grace. Paul wrote to the Romans, Christ ended the law so that everyone who believes in him may be right with God. He then goes on to say to the Galatians, in other words, the law was our guardian, leading us to Christ so that we could be made right with God through faith. Now the way of faith has come. We no longer live under a guardian. So what do we do? Well, I would suggest we follow the pattern of the New Testament church. They didn't worship on the Sabbath, but on the first day of the week. Sunday, as we still do. However, in this 7-day working week, this may not be the most sensible day for everyone. The responsible approach is to take time once a week to gather with other Christians and worship God as Creator and Redeemer. The writer of the Hebrews says you should not stay away from church meetings, as some are you doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. The day there referring to the return of Christ. To worship God on a Sunday was not taken from Judaism. And the first day of the week gradually was given Christian significance. It was accepted as the day Jesus was raised from the dead. The day after the Sabbath, we read in Matthew, the day after the Sabbath day was the first day of the week. At dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary went to look at the tomb. The day of Pentecost, when the disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit, fell on a Sunday. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. According to Acts 20, the Lord's Supper was taken on a Sunday. And in 1 Corinthians 16, the collection was taken on a Sunday. Now, until the time of Constantine during the 4th century, Sunday was a work day. But it was a special day for Christians from the beginning. The Sabbath was distinctly and specifically to do with Old Testament law, and our behaviour on Sunday should not be legalistically bound to the Sabbath law. On the other hand, it's not just business as usual. It's the Lord's Day, and it's a day to worship and to honour God. Now, this series is about relationships, and now we see this. The Old Testament is full of sayings that tell us to obey the law so that life may go well. And there is a deep principle in this command. God knows our bodies, and he knows we need rest and worship. Because we don't obey this commandment, we see heart attacks, high blood pressure, ulcers, stress, depression, marriage failures, and a whole range of relationship crises. Taking time out with God, taking time out for ourselves and our well-being, and taking time out with those we love are three things that have been sacrificed on the altars of modern living. The demise of our personal health, the health of our relationships, and the health of our faith can be seen all too clearly in modern society. This commandment is given so we can learn to trust God and to take him at his word. Do you trust God enough to take a day off? I once knew a farmer who did a lot of contract work, but he would never do a contract work on a Sunday. He just never did. And if you've got grain to come in or hay to be done, that could be rather nerve-wracking. But he once said to me, he said, "I never lost a crop." Well, that's interesting, wasn't it? I never lost a crop. Do I trust them enough to with that even in the light of a busy schedule, I'll kick back for a day? Do I trust them enough to take some time out with my family and friends? Do I trust them enough to believe him when he says 6 days of work is enough? This commandment is given as a sign. If we take a day and make it special for him, that is a sign for generations to come. It will speak well to our children and to our grandchildren. It makes them feel special and important. Good relationships with God and those we love are an investment. Now, interestingly, Jesus got into trouble over the Sabbath. Not only did he get into trouble for preaching, yeah, interesting example to follow, isn't it? But he also got trouble over how he treated the Sabbath. He saw it differently from the religious people of the day. There are some principles that Jesus gave for proper understanding on how to honour this day, and there are three of them. One, Jesus did what was right. He went to the synagogue, as was his custom. There's no record of Jesus doing any activity on the last Sabbath of his earthly life. Did he rest? Even on the last day of his life, with all that was left to do. If Jesus considered it that important, maybe we should too. Let's do what is right on his day, worship and rest. Secondly, Jesus did what was necessary. His disciples picked grain and ate it on the Sabbath. They had to eat, and Jesus saw no problem with that. We need to decide what is necessary. Is it really necessary to go to the supermarket or to get our hair cut or mow the lawn? You decide. And thirdly, Jesus did what was good. He healed on the Sabbath, much to the dismay of the Pharisees. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for people. That tells us that a New Testament understanding of the Sabbath is doing what is beneficial for you and others, and worshipping God is an important part of that. It's your day, a gift God has given you. Use it for your health. Maybe you need to exercise. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe you need to work in the garden. It's your day. The question is, what do you do that benefits your rest and worship the most? And our worship is to be on top. God wants our worship, our love, our witness. He wants our time. Do we honor God with our time? Are we worshiping as we should? God established one day a week for his people to remember him as their creator, deliverer, redeemer, and the one who gives rest to the weary. Now to conclude with a story. There was this man who challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, He stopped only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," the willing woodsman said, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest." Lord God, you've given us your commands for good purpose, including this one. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Lord, help us to embrace that within our life in a society that just keeps running on. Help us embrace that not only in our worship of you, first and foremostly, but in our self-care and in our care and love for those for whom We have responsibility. Those for whom you have gifted in family. Those who are gifts to us and friends. Holy God, help us to live as your people, free, forgiven, whole, welcomed. Be the expression of your infinite goodness in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.